You can do this, man. No, I can't. Yes, you can. It's just church. You can invite him. Just do it. What's the worst that could happen?
Hey, Roger.
Oh, hey, Paul.
I was wondering if you wanted to go to church with me and my family this weekend.
What? You think we're a pack of wild heathens that need Bible learning and churching and saving? Is that it?
No! Hey! Ah!
No hablé inglés. Oh, I'm an atheist. So, actually, I was wondering if you want to come to my house and do nothing with me this weekend?
I don't want to go to church!
Sam! Code red!
Hey, Sam!
Good job, sweetie. Get yourself a Go-Gurt.
Okay, come on. Seriously, you've got to snap out of this. Just invite him. Oh, but what if I say the wrong thing?
You, church, Sunday or else. You smell like sin.
Will you go to church with me?
It's Communion Sunday. Free crackers. Come to church with me, you will.
Mm-hmm. I'll never go to church with you.
Okay, now that that's out of your system, quit being silly. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Hey, Roger.
Hey, Paul.
You need a hand?
Actually, I think I got it. What's up, man?
Well, I don't know if you have any plans this weekend or not, but Christine and the kids and I would love it if you and your family came to church with us.
Wow. We've actually been thinking about attending someplace. We just hadn't decided where. Yeah, I think that'd be fine. Yeah, that would be spectacular.
All right, there you go. Pretty good, huh? Continuing with our Star Wars theme, unintended. So again, forgive me for my voice this morning. Let me read some Bible verses for you here. The first from Mark 16:15. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." About Jesus, it was written by the prophet Isaiah, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." From Luke 24, "The repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus told them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you." Psalm 18, "Therefore I will praise you, Lord. Among the nations I will sing praise of your name." The words of our Lord from Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come," he said. And Paul spoke these words, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And finally, then back to Isaiah in these words, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" We have a problem. Calvary, we've been given a task by the one that we call our Lord, a task to testify to God's goodness, his grace, to all people who need to hear, a task to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know what our problem is? Our problem is that we have a baptismal tank sitting under the mailboxes back there. It's getting dusty, isn't it? Our attendance has atrophied to some extent here on Sunday mornings. Now, some of that you can't help. We've just said goodbye to three different Sundays to people who are moving out of town. Can't do anything about that. But we've shrunk enough to feel it here on Sundays. I know you know. Let's acknowledge it. Since this is political season, perhaps today we'll call this my mini State of the Union address here. State of Calvary Baptist Church. There are a ton of great things happening here, make no mistake about it. But we do have a problem, and I think about this problem a lot, as you might imagine, as your pastor. I've often asked the Lord, why are things not coming easier than this? I love our Sunday morning services. I always have. I still do. The Lord is worshipped here. I work hard to teach biblical truth. We have incredible people here at Calvary. Sure, we're a flawed group like any gathering of human beings, right? But I could not ask for a better group of people to be church with and to do church with. I love what we have here in that respect. I think our church programming is solid. You saw all the green on the programming sheet that I had up here for you a couple weeks ago. We've made great progress in offering activities that create opportunities for people to learn, to grow, to get to know each other, and to love and to serve each other. Our radio show goes out to our community every Sunday morning, and I know people listen because I routinely get encouraging comments from community people about that 15-minute time slot on Sunday mornings. So, great Sunday mornings, incredible people, solid programming, a radio outreach that lets people know what we're about. Why haven't we grown? Why hasn't this come more easily? I've had a few moments of discouragement, I won't lie to you, but let me tell you something that I have learned over time. God sometimes allows periods of difficulty in our lives in order to get us to move in a new direction. I wonder if you've experienced that. There have been times in my life where God brought me to good things, but looking back, I know that I never would have gotten to that good thing if there hadn't been a closed door or some difficulty that had cropped up that got me off my previous path. If things had stayed okay, I would have stayed on that previous path and I would have missed the good thing. Some of those closed doors were painful, but I tell you what, sometimes God uses difficulty to get our attention and to get us to move to a better place. So as I reflect on the state of Calvary Baptist today, I want to suggest to you, it might just be possible that things have not come more easily for us because God is wanting us to move and he's wanting to mature us as a group. Let me explain to you what I mean. One of the most central commands of Jesus Christ, as we've already seen here this morning, was for his followers to go, to share the good news, to work to have people come to faith in him, and then teach them how to be disciples. Out of all of the six tasks of a disciple that we have on our mission statement, worship, pray, learn, love, serve, and share the good news, I am sure that all of us would say that it is probably that final one that is the most challenging for us, to share the good news. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. We saw that reflected in the video here a moment ago. It's uncomfortable. It requires intentionality. It requires time, and we may not feel that we have any more time to give in our schedules. And so this gets pushed off. Calvary, I think it's possible that things have not come more easily to us here because God is serious about turning us into people who will be serious about his call to share the good news with people in our community. In some ways, this problem that we're facing is a good problem because the solution for it is simply to obey a command that we already should be obeying. It's something we are supposed to be doing. We just need to do it better. We need to do it more often. I believe God is pushing us as a church to the point where we are going to have to take this command seriously or we are going to begin to wither as a church. It's a simple answer to this problem that we face. If we are obedient to Christ's call to spread the gospel, our church is going to grow. I think it's as straightforward as that. Now, I should interrupt here for a moment to say this. If you're with us here this morning and perhaps you have not made a decision to follow Jesus with your life, I want to apologize to you to a certain extent. This sermon is most definitely written to people who have made that decision to follow Jesus with their lives and to seek to follow Him. You did, I would imagine, already know before we read those Bible verses at the beginning of the sermon today that Jesus asked His followers to spread His message. That won't come as a surprise to you. Therefore, you should also understand then why there ought to be a sermon or two here from time to time on the topic of spreading the message of Jesus. It ought to be something that we are talking about, something that we are doing if we are to be truly obedient to our King. So the intended listener for today's sermon is definitely the Christ follower. However, I am glad that you are here, and I hope that throughout the course of this sermon, you'll feel God's love for you. This actually was supposed to be a sermon on missions today. I do think that it's right for us to regularly preach on missionary work here because it may be that God is calling one of you to make a change and to go into official missions work overseas, or maybe cross-cultural missions within the United States somewhere else. So I want to put it before us from time to time. But often in our sermons on missions, we talk a lot about missions out there, and then typically we come back in those sermons for a few comments at some point about how there are missionary opportunities right here in our community, how there are people in our community that need to have a saving relationship with Jesus still, who need Him. Well, I want to flip the normal mission sermon on its head today, and I want to put most of our focus in this next 30 minutes on our mission here. And so I'll offer just a few comments today about what we might call traditional missions work out there. The title of my sermon today is Mission Growth. Mission Growth. I want this to become our mission, Calvary. Growth. And given what I've already said to you this morning, you'll immediately think that I mean growth in terms of numbers here in our church body, and I do. That's part of what I have in my mind when I say the phrase mission growth. It's not the only thing. There's also the aspect of the word growth that can mean maturity, and I absolutely see that as part of our mission of growth here at Calvary as well. We all, no matter where we're at in our relationship with Christ, need to keep growing in Him. We need the Holy Spirit to come into our lives in increasing measure, molding us and teaching us, maturing us as followers of God. So everyone who comes in these doors, whether you've been attending here a long time or whether you are a new person or someone who's going to come into our doors in this next year, we all need to be growing in Jesus. That's part of mission growth. There's also this aspect of mission growth that refers to that wider call of God beyond Calvary and Madison. The New Testament calls all of us in the global church to seek growth in numbers. And we're not talking about mere statistics here, are we? We're talking about growth in the numbers of real live people who are beginning a real life new relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and who then are given encouragement and ongoing godly teaching from those around them in the church who already have developed that mature walk with Christ. That's the kind of growth that we are called to. Mission, growth of the kingdom, is the mission that that has been assigned to the global church on a global level. So when I say that I want mission growth to be our mission now at Calvary, of course, this really is nothing new, is it? We've already been given this mission by our Lord. We are part of that global church. So this is our new old mission. You know, maybe God will call you to accomplish His mission overseas or elsewhere in America, cross-culturally. Maybe that will be your place in this mission. And of course, the mission there is the same as it is here, to spread the good news and to make disciples. I think the difference between the mission over there and the mission here is the amount of sacrifice that is required. Traditional missionaries who seek to bring Jesus to unreached people groups cross-culturally, they make the sacrifice of leaving home. The sacrifice of living in a culture that doesn't work the way they're used to. and may never completely become comfortable. They have to adopt some of that culture themselves. Missionaries make the sacrifice of going through substantial training and learning a new language and raising support. So the mission is the same. The level of sacrifice is quite different. Becoming an overseas missionary is a difficult road, a challenging calling, but what an amazing calling it is, and what an important one. I can't think of anything that our world needs more right now than for people to take on the potentially very dangerous task of bringing more of Jesus to the Arab regions in our world. It's an important calling. Maybe God is calling you to this aspect of the mission he has given to us all. What a high calling that would be. How God must reward those who make those levels of sacrifices in their lives here on earth. However, the assumption here is that most of us in the building today will not likely be called overseas, though we can participate in that wider effort through the sponsoring of our missionaries and our care for them, or through going on our mission trips. And by the way, I did place a couple of weeks ago a phone call and an email to Converge looking for their suggestions on where a good place might be for a team of our people to go for a week next August to serve. More on that to come, something to consider. But most of us will not likely be called overseas by God long term, and that just means that we are the ones who are called to fulfill the mission here. In our community, this is our assignment. And I'm up here this morning to say that it is time for us to refocus as a church, to lean into this mission of growth in this next year and beyond. And the time is right for it. Those of you who have stayed over the last 3 years, I think that we know now who we are as a church. As mentioned already, our programming is in good shape. We've worked on that. I had to dedicate a good deal of my time in the last couple of years to our teenage ministry because it was in trouble, and that ministry is far too important to allow it to die. But youth group is in a much better place now, and I'm increasingly able to turn my attention away from it and give attention to other things. So the time is right now for us as a church to become focused on, obsessed even, I think, with this mission of growth, the growth of Calvary, the growth of the kingdom. I don't think obsessed is an inappropriate word. Do you remember when Jesus, and this is recorded for us in John chapter 4, was being harassed by his disciples who were simply trying to get him to eat something? Take a break from ministry and eat something, Jesus. And he said this to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." The work of God was so important to Jesus, it was more important to him than eating food. And then let's reread the words of Paul from Acts 20, verse 24. "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." These men were obsessed with the mission, weren't they? That's the right word. It was more important to them than food, more important than life. I would guess that some of those early Christ followers we've been learning about on Sunday mornings recently from the first and second century, I would guess some of them were obsessed with the mission. Are we obsessed with the mission here at Calvary? Are you obsessed with it in your own life? You see, we've been given a treasure. Each person here today who has a saving relationship with Christ holds this treasure in their hands. Jesus compared it to a treasure that someone found in a field, who then went and sold all their current possessions in order to go buy that field, because they knew that the treasure hidden in that field was worth far more than all of their current possessions. This was more than a good investment for that person to sell out and to buy the field that had the treasure in it. And this is the treasure that you have been given. It's been gifted to you, this treasure. And the treasure is light, and it is life. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. His are the words of life. We're talking here about a way of living in this world that he will teach you if you come to him, that can lead to the healing of all of your brokenness, that can lead to the ability, if you heed him, to live life in a way that stops the self-destruction and the other's destruction that you previously participated in and instead brings goodness and peace and wholeness. We're talking about a way to have hope and rightness and true, vibrant life. And of course, we're also talking here about the promise given to those who have been made right by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, of being given eternal life after they die. This treasure is one of life. It's also one of light. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you come to him, not just once, but when you remain in him, he will take the darkness that is in you and change it to light over time. You need to learn from him and to seek to put his teaching into practice in your life in order for this to be true. Now, none of us are perfect. But far too many Christians, I think, receive the gift of salvation from him and then continue to wallow in their darkness and in their past sinful ways. Don't let that be true in your life. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. You've been given the light of life, so live like it. Don't live as children of darkness anymore. Live as children of the light. And when that happens, then not only will Jesus be the light in the world, but you, as one amongst his many true followers in the world, will also become, for that world, the light. See the words of our Savior in Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You've been given a treasure. It's one of life and of light. And now God is telling you, calling you, you need to go share the light. You need to let it shine before others. Calvary, we need to get off our rears if we've been sitting on them. Or maybe you've been up and around and very busy, but we need to reprioritize our busyness so that we will all intentionally be out sharing the light in the Madison area. Mission growth. This is our mission, to take this task on. How are we to accomplish our mission? How will we succeed in this? I want to talk about church plants for a second. Starting a brand new church. I've told you in the past that our church denomination, Converge Worldwide, puts a lot of energy and resources into starting new churches. Why? Here's why. A statistic for you. This one coming from research done within the Southern Baptist denomination. Established Southern Baptist churches perform on average 3.4 baptisms per year per 100 members. But new Southern Baptist churches average 11.7 baptisms per year per 100 members. If the goal is getting the good news out to people who don't have it yet, and that is the goal, the new churches are very effective in this. And why is that? Why are new churches so much more effective than existing churches? Well, no question, it's because of their focus. Members of new churches know that they have to attract additional members in order to survive as a church, so they apply more energy to evangelism and to taking risks than the members of established churches. And you will see this difference in focus simply by reading through instruction manuals for church planters. Take a look at this from church planter Steve Pike. He instructs his readers to determine the number of people that they want to see show up for their launch Sunday, their first official Sunday service that's open to the public. Select the number that you want to see on that first public service, and after they select that number, then he says, multiply your ideal startup number by 2. This is the number of people you and your launch team will need to build relationships with before you have that first public launch. And then he defines that term relationship. A relationship means that you know a person well enough to understand what they care about, what they hope for, and what they're afraid of. During the pre-launch phase of the church, you and your launch team will devote the bulk of your church planting efforts to initiating and cultivating those relationships. Then he says, multiply your relationship number, that relationship number, by three. That's the number of connections you need to have in the community before you launch, have your launch service. And a connection means that you know their name and you're praying for them. You make connections as you go about your everyday life. When you interact with people, intentionally seek to know their name and begin to pray for them. This is something everyone on your launch team can do. Well, after reading that, is it any mystery why new churches are more effective in growth? I don't think so. Chicago pastor Aaron Damiani wrote an article on church planting that said that you cannot wait any longer in America for people to come into your church. You have to go out and develop relationships with people who need to know Jesus. He writes, relationships are foundational for reaching people. Prayer is essential in planting churches and seeing people effectively discipled. Evangelism is more than a philosophy and just something that we talk about. It is a missional activity that requires intentional effort. You know, in looking through the advice to church planters this week, I read that an appropriate target for the number of people you are hoping will show up for your launch Sunday, if you're planting starting a new church in a rural area, an appropriate target number for you is 50. We're averaging here on Sunday mornings about 65. Maybe we need to start thinking about ourselves more as a church plant than a 30-year-old church. And why would we not want to do that? Church plants are more effective at succeeding in the task that we have. Okay, what about those people who leave their home and go to another country and dedicate their lives to go on the mission field and serve Christ? Do you think that we might be able to learn something about growth from missionaries, these people who have their full focus on the growth of the kingdom? I think so. Here's another training manual for you. This one is for missionaries, and it's from a United Kingdom-based group called the Missionary Training Service. This manual tells people to settle in and bond with the people in your new community. It says to show the love of Christ, which is key in building relationships. If possible, the suggestion is to even live in a house with people from the community so you can immerse yourself in the culture. The missionaries are instructed then to find out what religious ideas the people around them already have. And it says this will help you when you present the gospel. More suggestions. Pray to be accepted by the people. Pray for God's kingdom to grow in that community and for conversions to Christ. Pray to demand to banish demonic forces in the name of Jesus. Pray for the sick in the name of Jesus. And then help the new Christians to win their families and their communities for the Lord Jesus. It says train leaders and then keep evangelizing and keep discipling. Suggestions from the mission field on how to grow the kingdom. Before we draw some conclusions from all of this, on how to accomplish the mission we've been given, I thought we should look again at some of the responses of some in our own congregation who answered an email I sent a year ago about how they came to Christ and about how they ended up here. This is a high-level summary of their responses, and we went over this at our Share the Light event last winter. Those who responded to that email told me that drawing from their experiences, what they would tell people who are seeking to accomplish the mission of growing a church and of growing God's kingdom include the following suggestions. Number one, surprise, surprise, build relationships with people who don't know the Lord. We've heard that a few times now. Or with people who don't know Him well. Number two, model a Christian lifestyle. You know, that relationship then allows this person over time to see how a Christian lives. And that's a good thing. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you have to be the perfect Christian before you start witnessing, because you're going to be waiting a long time. All of us are people in process. All of us have our issues, so don't wait. However, you do need to be taking your walk with God seriously. You do need to be legitimately trying to live in the way Christ commands. Please do not witness to Jesus if you don't take him seriously. About Jesus. Live as a child of the light and then model it. Number three, are people said to be accepting, to be patient, to not be pushy, but to also speak the truth in love when the opportunity presents itself. They suggested that you ought to pray for the people that you have built those relationships with and look for opportunities to pray with them. And then finally, they said, invite. When the time is right, invite them to church, invite them to a Bible study. Invite them to go with you to a big Christian conference somewhere where they will hear the truth presented and hear testimonies. Invite. So how are we going to accomplish mission growth at Calvary? Here is what I am seeing from the things we just looked at. And this would be the point where you would take out your slips of paper that I gave you and your pen and write in the blanks. If we are going to obey Christ's call to spread the good news and to make disciples and to grow our church, number one, we are going to need to intentionally build relationships with people who need Jesus. We are going to need to intentionally build relationships with people who need Jesus. Number two, if we're going to do this, we're going to need to pray. Prayer team, everybody. Number three, if we're going to make disciples and grow our church, we are going to need to show love to people. Model the Christian lifestyle for them by living it. And we need to be the real deal. Number three, we're going to need to show love to people. Model the Christian lifestyle. And really try to be the real deal. Finally, number four, if we're going to succeed in our mission, we need to invite people. We need to invite people to church and to Christian activities. Lifeway Research did a survey of 2,000 Americans who do not go to church. This is from this last year. They asked these people, what type of invitation would get them into a church building, regardless of the type of activity that was going on? 51% of the respondents said that they would attend the event at church if a friend or a family member invited them. 51%. So what does this tell you? This means that when you invite people, some will say no. So just be ready for that. It also means that half will say yes. And then amongst those people that say yes and come, some won't ever come again and they won't pursue it, but some will pursue it. And isn't this exactly how Jesus taught us that it was going to work in his parable of the farmer sowing the seed? Some of the seed, Jesus said, would be eaten by birds. Some would fall in rocky places, unreceptive to seed. Some would fall on shallow soil, which would not provide a chance for roots to form. Some would fall among thorns, but some seed, a percentage of the seed, is going to fall onto good soil, and the seed will grow, and it will multiply. Some of the people you invite will be good soil for the seed. And I think that we should note that none of that will happen unless that farmer goes out to sow the seed. So invite. Some people will say yes. As our opening video showed us. So don't be afraid, just do it. By the way, we are working on our next bigger event like Magic Norm that will be easy for you to invite people to, and we'll let you know when that's a little more settled. But you don't have to wait for an event like that to start inviting. You can start inviting now. for people to join us. So number one, intentionally build relationships with people who need Jesus. Number two, pray, pray, pray. Number three, show love to people. Model the Christian lifestyle. Be the real deal. And number four, invite. This is how we will accomplish our mission if we all sell out to do these things. Jesus said, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now, the one who reaps harvests a crop for eternal life. A phrase started running through my head a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of stuck there. And the phrase is this, timely with what's happening around us in the fall here. But it says, the harvest might be ready, but if we don't go into the fields, it's just going to sit there. The harvest might be ready, but if we don't go into the fields, it's going to sit there. I believe it's highly possible that things have not come more easily for us here at Calvary because God wants us to actually get out in the fields. He wants to train us. We're being called to change how we do things. Starts with me. Well, the good news for us, as I finish my State of the Calvary Baptist Church address here, is that we can do this. If we are obedient to God to spread the good news, our church will grow. We can meet this challenge. I believe that we can make this shift to start thinking more like a church plant. Why not? And become more intentional in our focus on our mission. There is a plain answer for the problems facing our church. We just have to do what we're called to do. Then we're going to be all right. I don't know. It sounds pretty exciting to me. Isn't this what we always say we want to be a part of? Seeing lives change for the good because of the life-saving and loving message of Jesus Christ. Boy, there is no reason to be bored with life when you are invited to mission growth. When you wrap yourself up in God's worldwide project of saving people, let yourself become obsessed with it. It's going to be exciting, everybody. Soul satisfying. Let's get after it together. I'm going to finish by asking for a commitment from you today along these lines. On that sheet you've been writing on already, there's a final blank to fill in there at the bottom, and the question before that blank is this: who are you going to call this week? That's right, it says this week. I'm going to have us take a moment of silence in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to pray about that. Who is God putting in your mind? And then you can continue to think about that after that moment of silence while we watch a very short video from Converge. But don't leave today without filling in at least one name in that blank. And then I would suggest that you take these sheets home and you put them in your Bible so that you're looking at them when you do your prayer and your study time, so that it will remind you of these things and remind you of that name. I don't know who you're supposed to call. I'm guessing God is going to give you a face in your head if you ask. Maybe it's a person that you're supposed to start building that relationship with, someone who needs to know Jesus on a deeper level. And we need to remember that these relationships we're starting, we have to be committed to them no matter what that person decides about Christ. These need to be genuine. Maybe there's someone you're supposed to take a next step with this week in building that relationship, or maybe the relationship is already built and you just need now to take that step of inviting. Or maybe it's not the step of inviting, maybe it's the step of asking, what do you think about God? And opening up the conversation so they can share with you and you can share with them. And you start the dialogue. Do it this week. Make a phone call. We're not going to have a Share the Light event this fall. It was just too busy with other things going on. So this sermon is going to serve as your Share the Light focus for this season. Touch base, though, with your Share the Light accountability partner in these next couple of weeks and get them caught up to speed with what you're planning on doing here or what you have already done. Let's be intentional in accomplishing our mission. I ask you to go ahead and take that just moment of silence. We don't need any piano. Let's just keep it silent. Bow before the Lord. Ask Him to place a name in your mind, maybe more than one. In a moment, we'll show that video for you, and then I'll come up and close. So go ahead and pray to the Lord about this.
It was Jesus' prayer that we would come together and be one. But there was more. In his prayer, he said, "I pray they will be one, so the world will know." Jesus gives us a purpose to gather around, that the world would come to know and love him. We're reminded of this every time we look at the cross.
The cross reminds us that sin has a remedy, that Jesus is who he says he is.
We have forgiveness for our past, power for our present, and hope for our future.
He gave his life for us so we could give our lives for him.
We're on a mission to make disciples.
Every man, woman, and child, young and old, rich and poor, is unbelievably valuable to God and worth every effort to reach them with the message of Jesus.
And so we converge around the cross. We converge to tell what Christ has done for us and to make it known in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our communities, around the world. We know what he has done, and we know what he has asked us to do. We start churches because the message of Jesus through the church brings hope to the world. We're committed to starting missionally-minded churches in every people group and community. We start churches that start churches to see lives change with Christ's love and truth. We strengthen churches. Strong churches are led by strong leaders. So we equip leaders to expand their ministry impact and fulfill the unique calling God has given them. We send people. Many of us anticipate the second coming of Jesus, but many in the world still haven't heard of his first coming. While we want all people to know Jesus, we focus on the least reached peoples of the world. We equip national leaders to create movements that impact individuals, communities, and regions through the power of the gospel. This is what we do. This is who we are. Start and strengthen churches together worldwide so the world will know Jesus. We are Converge.
All right, so that's the mission from the denominational point of view, but we are a part of that mission here at the local level. The words from that video, we are on a mission to make disciples so that the world will know. I am committed to not letting this just be lip service anymore in my life. I'm committed to taking action. Are you committed? No more lip service. Is God calling you to be part of the mission overseas or with a different culture? Is he tugging at your heart right now about that? He might be, and if he is, don't ignore it. Who in our community needs to know the message of Christ on a deeper level? Who do you know in your life who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Who is God putting on your heart today? And don't worry, I'll keep bugging you about this in the future. To whom is he calling you today? Will you respond to his call with, "Here I am, send me"? Who are you going to ask out to lunch this week? Who are you going to invite to church? Write that name down, and let's bow in prayer. Lord, of course, there are some of us in here who have done some work in this area of sharing your good news in the past. Of course, that's true. But I also know that all of us can get better at it. Lord, I think you're teaching us something. I think there's something for us to learn in this time of Calvary Baptist Church. I think you're wanting us to grow in our lives as disciples of yours by now beginning to be more intentional about the part of being a disciple that builds relationships with people who need to know you. The part that spreads your message. Lord, I ask that you be with us every step along the way now as we refocus on mission growth. And we would ask that you would even go ahead of us right now and prepare the hearts of those who you are calling to, who will be impacted by our activity in this mission. Those who need to call you for the first time, Savior and Lord. I can't wait to see it. It can happen here. It will happen here. In this place and through this group of imperfect people like myself. Lives can be changed because you change lives. Eternities can be changed. Lord, give us a passion and obsession for it. Help us to figure out how to have the time, how to make time for it. Create the opportunities now. And Lord Jesus, may Calvary Baptist Church, may we grow because more and more people are coming to know you. And we pray this in the name of our wonderful and loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.